Thanks for joining me for Journey to Easter, our Holy Week series exploring the significance and the meaning of each of the days of Holy Week in the Christian calendar throughout the world. I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of the podcast, and in this episode, we're speaking with Reverend Dani Lee. She is from St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Provo, and we're asking about Maundy Thursday. I never use the word Maundy in my everyday life. What does that mean?
It's one of those words that no one ever uses, really, except for, I think, this title. It comes from the Latin, from mandatum, which means commandment. We remember it as the day when Jesus gave the greatest commandment to us.
A new commandment I give unto you. Wonderful. How does that get celebrated in the Episcopal Church?
A lot of churches will have the custom of the foot washing. And there are mostly two ways of doing that. Either everyone comes forward and the priest and sometimes the deacon wash the parishioner's feet. Or how we do it at St. Mary's is that each person gets to wash someone's feet. So you take turns. And we lean into that because we think that's a great practical application of what Jesus said to love one another as I have loved you. Jesus knelt down and cradled his friends' feet in his hands and engaged in this very intimate act of love. So I think that's an opportunity for all of us, because a lot of times we talk about, oh yes, we love our friends, we love our neighbors, but there's an extra layer of intimacy when you actually have to touch them and when you actually have to touch their feet. Have you ever washed your friends' feet?
No, only my children's.
Yeah. There's that level of intimacy that's not always comfortable with people that you're not very close to, like your spouse or your children. So engaging in that with sometimes a stranger that might have just ended up at church with you that night, there's an applicability of that commandment to love that goes beyond just words. It goes into actions. So I really like that engagement. It's quite uncomfortable, and it's good for us to be uncomfortable at times.
I've heard, for instance, Pope Francis has a tradition of washing the feet of certain people. Sometimes it's been homeless people, sometimes people with illnesses or disabilities. I think what you're saying is to really show love for people despite their circumstances.
Yeah.
And this would have been at the Last Supper on this Thursday. I love that. How about in your home or in your life? Is there a thing that you keep in mind, or how do you observe that personally?
I like to call it like the brave knight, because Jesus is in front of this big decision. Like, he can say no. He doesn't have to go through that suffering. I think as he's praying, he realizes that maybe there isn't, or maybe there is, but he still chooses to go forward, right? Like, we don't know what God told Jesus in that prayer. I call it like the knight of bravery because Jesus knows what's ahead of him and he still chooses to move forward. And I think that's a reminder to us that sometimes we get a little bit too comfortable in our own lives and we don't remember to be in difficult situations. And a lot of times we don't know our own strength and what we can go through. So it's a reminder that we can lose all that we have in a second sometimes, and that it's okay because God is in there too. God is in that journey of grief and disaster and hardship. God is in there too. There's a darkness that's coming, and God is in that darkness as well. We're not alone. I think it's a great opportunity to have conversations in your home about what does it mean to take your life for granted, and what would it mean to lose all of it, and how would you find God in that loss as well? It's also a momentous night for us in the Christian tradition because that's where Jesus institutes the Eucharist or the sacrament. So it's a beautiful foreshadowing, the way that he breaks the bread is how his body will be broken on the cross.
The very next day.
Yes, exactly. And then the fact that that broken bread, he gives it to his friends and says, do this every time you get together. Which to me is an encouragement that feeding each other and sitting together for mealtime is something that is sacred in itself. But also getting together in community to share in the sacrament and to remember that a part of Christ is in us and we are now the body of Christ, that's essential to our living and to our existing into the world. it's such a momentous night. Like Maundy Thursday is such a huge night. There are so many pieces and there is so much that Jesus did in that short amount of time that has stayed with us and with our traditions and has influenced and made this pattern of life for us. Like every single Sunday, we break bread in remembrance of Christ's sacrifice for us. That is incredible. And we've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. It's just beautiful to me to have this night of remembrance where just doing what Jesus did in that night can offer us so much revelation to what is meaningful in life.
Reverend Danny, thank you so much. I love your passion and your appreciation of what happens on that day and the way that you act that out and provide not just a chance for you as clergy, but for the members of your congregation in the washing of the feet to actually serve one another. And that seems to me a very touching moment.
It is. I've spoken to people over the years and I've asked, is this uncomfortable? And they all say, yes, and I love it. And a lot of people will say, I went there knowing that I'm just not going to participate in the washing of the feet. And then along the way, I decided that, no, I'm going to do it. There's this invitation that is very appealing to people. We all want to be more Christ-like, and that's one practical way to do it.
Yeah. We talk about walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but usually it's a metaphor for actions and attitudes, but there's a case to actually act as he acted.
Yeah, and it can be as small as just washing someone's feet at church, and that can be momentous and transformative in itself.
I think every Christian tradition celebrates Easter Sunday, because that's glorious. I did not grow up in a tradition that spent much time, if any, on Holy Week, and especially looking at some of the darkness of the crucifixion and then the day of waiting when, as far as the followers of Jesus knew, it was all over because they hadn't really understood what he said. I have appreciated getting to learn more about that. And what is it like with the congregation to try and lead them through the days without saying, but guys, I know how it ends. Like, we'll get to Sunday, but let's experience those other days before we get there.
I think it's a great way to apply that saying that it's the journey that matters, not the ending. Mm. In this case, the ending also matters. But on Palm Sunday, we get together and we have the palms and we sing Hosanna and we remember how Jesus came into Jerusalem, right? And then if we skip to the next Sunday, we say, oh, hallelujah, he's risen. Risen from what? Because last time, last episode, it was Jesus coming into Jerusalem, right? So if you're missing out on what happens during that week, you're not really going to get how important the resurrection is. It is so important to walk through remembering the events of Holy Week so that you can descend with Christ into the tomb so that you can also be resurrected on Easter Sunday. At St. Mary's, what we do is that we come together on Wednesday. That's our first gathering of Holy Week after Palm Sunday. And we do a service called Tenebrae. And Tenebrae is not part of officially the days of the Holy Week. I love it because it's almost 2 hours of somber chants. There's readings and there's chanting. And at the beginning, there are 15 candles. And you end up with one, which is the Christ candle. It's our Paschal candle. And even that goes away at one point. So you are slowly descending into darkness as you are chanting these psalms. It's like a symbolic descent into the tomb with Christ. Then we come on Maundy Thursday and we wash each other's feet. And then we have the Eucharist and remember Christ's supper. And then we strip the altar. We strip everything in our sanctuary. We take it all away and we empty our tabernacle, which is where we hold the extra consecrated elements, the wine and the wafers, we consume all of that and we leave the tabernacle open. Christ is gone. There's no more body to be preserved. And Friday, for Good Friday, we come in and the whole church is stripped of anything. There's a big cross in the middle. It's all dark and desolate. And then Saturday night, when we come to the great vigil of Easter, it's the first moment we celebrate the resurrection into the night at midnight. And we make a big fire outside of the church. And we finally get to shout, Christ is risen. There's exponentially more joy when you have to travel all the way out of that tomb and that darkness to that light of the resurrection. So I think it's just a reenactment of it in an embodied way just makes it a lot more meaningful. It becomes alive for you. The story of Christ becomes your story.
I hope you'll join us in person on Palm Sunday, April 13th, 2025, at the Marriott Center on the Brigham Young University campus for the Journey to Easter concert, which features Luke's Choral Society, Orchestra, and Friends, as well as local pastoral reflections on each of the days of the Holy Week leading up to Easter. Reverend Danny will be there presenting some thoughts as well. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Reverend Danny is at St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Provo, Utah. You can learn about each of the days of Holy Week, their significance and their meaning on Journey to Easter, our podcast series on the In Good Faith podcast. You can subscribe, Apple, Spotify, and see all of the interviews on YouTube. In Good Faith is a production of BYU Radio.